Regardless of the entertainment type, I think horror and humor is a hard thing to mix correctly. Other than the Scream series and a couple movies and games here and there, mixing the dire feelings of dread with tongue-in-cheek hasn't actually met with a great deal of success. In the game sphere, there are a couple titles that have pulled it off, and fewer is renowned for shining a black light on the smatterings of questionable body fluids left over from the mayhem it portrays, like Wasteland and the Wasteland series. I'm not saying that Wasteland is a horror game, but you do some pretty horrible things throughout it, and unlike many titles where you're just traipsing around double-tapping half a nation of dudes just working for their pensions and then you smirk and somehow get away with it, Wasteland has always been about the reflection of the repercussions. Few games can claim that the boring parts of fielding a small group of robot chickens and questionably copied clones of yourself into a turn-based battle against a mercenary unit that doesn't even notice you because they're too busy thinking up really cool names for themselves. So let's take on the mantle of the Rangers in a world that lived through nuclear Armageddon, whether it deserved to or not. By In Exile, Wasteland 3 comes out on the PC, Xbox, and PS4 this week. It's also on Game Pass. As always, if you like the video, maybe subscribe. Graphics are up first. So Wasteland 3 is this heady step up, I think, from the predecessor, and while not always demonstrating the sheen of some other titles, let's say like Divinity Original Sin 2, it can still look beautiful, even if that's just some nasty apartment filled with the refuse of someone's life and lack of care about it, or driving through the snowy roads and trails of a post-apocalyptic Colorado. Location after location, each with small secrets and well-established histories, build out as you explore in the game world. It also doesn't hurt that by the time you have just a couple hours into the game, your little band looks like they sprinted through an old junkyard buck-ass naked covered in the world's strongest glue. But I'll get to character design in a moment, because to me, much of the character in games like this, especially due to the way the camera is sort of zoomed out, is the world and its environments itself. Trekking across Colorado has a really unique feeling to it that's different from all the Wastelands prior, discovering small, out-of-the-way cellars of stolen items, the less asked about those the better, or locations that you never knew existed, just never really stops. Wasteland is nothing if not surprise after surprise in exploration game form. But you know what, we've seen fancy graphics before. This isn't just reflected in the graphics though, it's also reflected in things like the voice and the narrative. I'll get to that in those sections. Somehow, Wasteland offers this rich tapestry of life in a world that no one probably really wants to live in anymore, and you can feel that, ignoring that, sure, a bit of it's more colorful than, say, Fallout's drabber grays and browns. Here, that color is half of the enjoyment there. It's that desperate difference between the drab way in which you live here and the colorful way in which it's presented. And I know a lot of people won't notice those kind of things, but I certainly do appreciate it. Another thing I appreciate is good character design. The first main character you meet has a warhammer that's just two fists and an American flag. The only way that could be cooler if it was somehow four fists and its grip was McDonald's fry bags. He's like a space marine, minus the multiple hearts and shrunken genitalia. Also, luckily, translates to your characters as well, with a bit more of a flexible and in-your-face armor design than we sometimes see here. Well, at first I was worried it was just going to be like 11 versions of the same Ranger police officer jacket when you're making your character. I was actually walking around in a small amount of time in what looked like a deep-sea World War II diving rig for a helmet, my own version of Bioshock's Big Daddy just rumbling, stumbling, and tumbling through the game world. Cosmetic choices can be turned on or off if you don't want that and you want a little bit of a cleaner look to your characters, but I say turn them on. The more ragtag, the better. But sometimes that can actually get in the way, especially in Wasteland 3. When you're four rounds deep in a giant battle that involves smoke grenades, real grenades, flamethrowers, RPGs, and toxic attacks, it can actually get hard to see what is happening. That's also because if you turn off the hit chances and a few other settings for information, you still have a lot going on graphically and a lot of color. Now, too much isn't necessarily a bad thing here, but I will admit there were a couple times where I moved to the wrong space, simply because I thought, yeah, this is where I want to go, and then move to it, but the effects were laid on top of one another so much I didn't notice it wasn't the actual place I had chosen. Regardless of where I was or what I was seeing, from burning offices to blazing disco dance floors, the game ran pretty good. I can't say it was amazing though. 4K with all the settings on Ultra, of which there are a good number of settings you can adjust, was usually above 60 frames per second on the i7 and the 2080 Ti, but there were certainly some drops. Surprisingly though, if you use the button to highlight items in the game world you can interact with, there's a noticeable bit of stutter, which is really odd just, well, to add some floating text. Getting it to run at 60 required turning down shadows or the resolution or a mix of them. It still looked really good despite that. The jump from 1440p to 4K sees another sacrifice in this game, I think. I did get a couple FPS from using full screen, so you could always try that. Here's the thing though, while it's not always technically at the top of the heap, and sometimes a place or two did look rough, Wasteland 3, for the most part, does exactly what I wanted from it. It offers an almost tractor beam draw for me into a post-apocalyptic world. Things that don't look like they belong probably don't, and jumping into battle is this catastrophic color explosion you expect in a game that has you trading shots between flamethrowers and shrink rays. And then the thing you didn't think was probably supposed to be there, turns out that's a bad guy too. I love the way everything mixed together, and that weaving of graphics over gameplay really worked well. I do just wish they'd toned it down a bit. And that brings us to sound, music, and voice. Let's do voice first, because this is phenomenal. It's a massive step up. 575 speaking parts, 38 hours of audio, fully voiced, acted characters. Brian Fargo tweeted that. Emil Minty, who is the feral kid from Road Warrior, not the feral kid from the starting of Horizon Zero Dawn, because I swear to God they look the same, is also in this. While there are a couple times where it sounds like the voices don't exactly match up, I was astonished by the amount that exists here and the subtlety between them all. When you realize Claudia Christensen is like 200 people in Skyrim, it starts to make you have an uncomfortable discussion in your head about puppetry and where the strings are attached. Here, everyone is pretty much discreet, from the seething character threatening your lives deep in some robotic, sedate commune, to some random jackass who mouths off one too many times and sees the end of his short life at the end of a shorter barreled shotgun. Even the radio works to offer this tangible connection to the overarching world itself, pulling you from spot to spot to new adventure, as they're offered to you, even as you set forth to do your own. Each report from different people or the occasional dispatcher, who also becomes this weird voice of frustration and humor on the other end. The combination of overlapping and, in this case, locationless offering of quests also helps Wasteland spread its wings a bit. It feels like a breathing world as you find out that two or three quests overlap and you can't help everyone. And you think, man, that sucks. And then some psychopath live broadcasts the disastrous results to everybody. This is one of those places that the extra budget that Wasteland got is noticeable. And that brings us to sound. Some of the larger battles can get really busy with fire burning across the entire floor of a room, and then you get shot with a grenade and you're still trying to figure out where the enemies are when two people drop smoke grenades, and all of those make different sounds. And the guns themselves have a nice percussion and a good punchy feel to them. It's a troubled world. Nothing heals that ill underbelly of crime like a cylinder full of 44 caliber TUMs delivered at 400 feet per second, especially if you sound friggin' awesome while you're doing it. And while it's not perfect, overall, it does. That brings us to music. I think Brian Fargo himself described this as a weird soundtrack, and I would agree fully. It's weird, it is also awesome. First, while exploring and traversing the land, sometimes there actually isn't that much music playing. But then you realize that a song's being blasted over some ill-used speaker system, and it's a remix of an Annie Lennox song. There are a number of well-written musical tracks here if you pay attention, like a busker in town who seems to ad-lib a song about the Rangers until you actually realize your characters are singing along. And those are interspersed throughout. For example, a montage. I found a group of kids who had, in the end, caused this huge amount of killing and murder, and I felt that, as any justice bringer does, they were beyond redemption. So I whipped out the old smoke wagons and proceeded to cannonhole them in the guts a couple of times, and then all of a sudden, this cranky old Western song starts playing with a ragged edge to it as we're trading shots across the rocks. It was a poignant moment that was absolutely delivered due to the music. I can't say I didn't miss more environmental music, especially exploring, but the trade-off is just this oddly paced, almost awkward soundtrack that leaves you thinking, why is there nothing really playing right now? Then boom, the most epic moment ever happens. Unexpected, but well done. And that brings us to gameplay and a bit about the story. Of course, set after Wasteland 2, thus the title, your rangers are sent to get help from the Patriarch, this egotistical ruler of the frozen state of Colorado. He himself has his own issues, though, as his family's fractured, sending his children to all corners of the state, each vying to take over the rules of reign from their father, and all exposing you to different levels of the absolute shitberg that is going to crash into the Titanic of your plans to heal your own state and keep the rangers going. Quickly beset by a horrible ambush and watching most of your people die, you awake to find yourself almost friendless, but still trying to establish this beachhead from which to rescue your mission. How are you supposed to take on all this? Well, first you create characters, or choose from the game's established pairs, like pissy punk rock lovers or a father and child who, for whatever reason, were with the Rangers. That's like sending a Boy Scout into the friggin' Navy SEALs, but whatever. Or you can create your own custom ones, which is what I did. Now, characters have various attributes: coordination, luck, awareness, strength, speed, intelligence, and charisma, which affect things like your health, lucky chances, hit chance itself, critical hit chances, the ability to find enemy weak spots, and your leadership, respectively. Each level you accrue from adventuring, killing, and general mayhem gives you a point to spend in one of them. From there on, you also outfit yourself with an assortment of skills, and I gotta remind you, intelligence affects how many skill points you get when you level up, so it's important almost regardless. Skills like weapon and armor modification are allowed in the field, first aid, lockpicking, sneaking, repairing mechanical devices, and so forth. Nothing really surprising when it comes to choices there. Perks are also given out as you level up. The perks are related to the main skills. For instance, you might have the ability to make weapon mods from items you break down in the field, or continued use of a flamethrower might teach you how to engulf them with more flame, because apparently the first amount of flame wasn't enough. Now, you can also round out your character with a background, like getting extra experience from each level, or possibly having a higher perception due to your childhood tracking enemies down. Lastly, and only if you want, you can give your character a quirk. This is a major benefit at the cost of a major penalty, like much more effective attacks in combat, but not wearing armor because, well, just because you saw a lethal weapon, I guess. One word of warning, don't overlap characters and their weapon types too much in this game, regardless of the difficulties you choose. Ammo can be insanely hard to come by mid-game, and there's nothing more painful than having friendly fire on and not only barely doing damage, but accidentally hitting your teammates with about $40 worth of automatic rifle fire and realizing that was the last bit you actually had between you. And from there on, you're exploring both the outlands of Colorado and the extensive wildlands in your upgradable vehicle, as well as various cities and larger inhabited locations on foot. Each of those offers diverse NPCs, offering quests, deaths, and jests as you explore, kill, and one-liner every single character you meet. And a lot of games try to do something that Wasteland nails, and that allows you to play in diverse ways. Play a mouthy SOB with a love for baseball bats with nails through it, and maybe you want to see someone's insides and what they look like versus seeing what someone is like on the inside. Or a more laid-back adventure, just there to help the Rangers in keeping their traditions intact. But both may offer completely different sections of a quest or quests. Both totally different experiences with the world's characters, seeing spots others don't, and so forth. And that's because Wasteland, I think it pays attention to literally everything you do. I can't think of a game other than the prior Wasteland games that track so much of what you do, how you treat somebody and their reactions to you, other than maybe Disco Elysium. I've brain transferred sentient AIs into the unexpected brains of stupid kids. I've mowed down entire groups of gang members only to find out that they were basically starving, and I could have probably talked my way out of it easily, both within the same exact area. It's not only the reaction that matters in games like this, but your own attention prior to it. Check out each location and find two or three ways into a stronghold, one of them skirting past everyone, but also possibly putting another entirely almost unconnected group onto your trail. It's not just that you can do something three different ways. It's that when you do it three different ways, there's also reactions. It's not just getting into a place. It's the events because you got into that location and how you did it that resound. Comparisons to Deus Ex continued as I played this. Combat is also mostly unchanged from the prior games, and the largest pure adjustment is that each team goes in one fell swoop versus character by character, so entering into an ambush can result in a slaughter as a number of enemies go prior to any of your characters and them even getting their weapons to bear, but vice versa also works. This does unlock all sorts of potential for crazy combos and situational combat tactics. Each character can carry the typical two weapons, both fed by their requisite skills and how many points you have in those combined with the weapon or specific statistics it may have. Action points are used to move, attack, use quick items, special moves that are specific to you or the weapon you are using, as well as a finishing step. This allows you to prep and have more action points for the next turn. It allows you to jump into a defensive stance and get more defense, or if you have a couple points, it actually allows you to do an overwatch of some sort. All this may sound great, and it is, and I've always liked Wasteland's combat, but sometimes it can get pretty hectic. When you add in that you have cover and then armor and that needs to be penetrated to do damage, at times you can sit there and it's like beating a watermelon with a friggin' tongue depressor. It's not terrible, it can just be a bit frustrating. We've seen other games work around this in various different ways. Seeing those numbers is just one of the caveats and one of the conceits of getting extra data to the gamer. I get that. Normally, the more passive times in the game are actually busy. There's always something happening in Wasteland 3. When you're traveling, you're hearing radio blasts and alerts and people requesting help or just telling you about the world. The next moment, you're using a number of skills to detrap a location, then find completely different ways to fulfill the quest you just worked through in a totally different way. Wasteland has no issues informing you that, hey, stupid, sometimes the hard way is not the only way you can do something, but it rewards you for both. For example, if you upgrade your character with survival skills, you will noticeably reduce the random battles when driving your ice cream death machine through the frozen wonderland of Colorado, which seems at first like a good idea. but those battles many times offer new locations, items, or story prompts that you wouldn't see if you did that. But for every good, there is a bad in Wasteland, or at least something that bothers me a little bit, and that's because there's a noticeable hesitation and pause when moving through the inventory tabs, which doesn't sound like a big thing, but the game's 50 plus hours long, and waiting for a moment for the game to sort of grab that command feels like ages when you're deep into a dungeon and just want to upgrade three characters that leveled up so you can continue moving forward. Also, weapons don't really easily indicate if they have been upgraded. At least I could never find a quick color or item icon change, many times having to scroll through the stats or just go into the mod system itself to check. Luckily enough, going into the armor and weapons mod section is well worth it. All manner of upgrades can be added to everything, from padding and helmets to bigger barrels and flamethrowers to chokes on shotguns, extra padding to the other parts of the armor, even later, some implements and implants that can be purchased that also up those stakes. One last thing that bothers me that I gotta mention, it infuriated me, and that's the mission log. I had a couple bugs with a few quests not activating when I finished them, and another two or three that stated steps I needed to take, but those characters were busy taking dirt naps because I had killed them like a couple hours prior. But it's just not really well thought out. It updates in a really weird way halfway through the steps, and due to Wasteland 3's huge flexibility in the narrative, finding the exact update that you're looking for can be difficult. Also, FYI, it doesn't give waypoints that you can see for quests. It just gives you narrative information. I'm absolutely behind that decision. I think it's awesome. But if you want to traipse through the dark forest of the future following breadcrumbs, realize that ain't going to happen here. Lastly, there are a number of interface bugs, like having to switch tabs to get the game to update information. This was all in the embargo document as stuff they said would be patched prior to release. I had no crashes, no game-stopping bugs of that kind, but I wanted to inform you. I also wanted to inform you that the game does let you play any way you possibly want to, and yes, that means evil. And it starts pretty much right away. I let somebody basically die with their last breath without the respite of a final parting shot because I reveled in the misery they felt after causing it to others. Now, you can play it safe. You can play it nice, and that also offers its own feeling of returning law to a lawless land. I just feel that in my world, that success would be measured by counting how many bullets I shot and not how many I have left. How does all this come together, though? Do the bugs end up offsetting the enjoyment? Well, that's why we got Fun Factor. I had some tech issues, for sure. The performance is not exactly where I would want it, though it's better than a lot of other games. It's just not exactly at the top cusp. And one or two battles I struggled with, as well as that quest tracking system, that is almost mysterious as the quests in the game themselves. I still had a tremendous time playing it. It's what I wanted, more Wasteland 2, but forcibly dragged into the future, kicking and screaming, and then outfitted with the budget to offer full voice and a unique soundtrack, to say the least. I think not since Desperados 3 have I been this surprised by a sequel. Wasteland 3's almost prodigious strength is in that connective tissue of the narrative and the continued player interaction that never caused me to be bored, especially in a camera view like this, where for me, it's not always the easiest to keep me invested in the characters. And it had and set a constant tempo. It just doesn't have a great deal of downtime, so many other games do in this format, and that really helped it. So as you guys know, I rate games on a buy, wait for sale, rent, or never touch it again rating system, with rent being replaced by deep, deep sale on PC. So as we know, this is Game Pass. For sure, check it out on Game Pass, boom. When it comes to full price, I do think it's worth it, but I do think you should expect to see some bugs. This is a game that is huge in its scope, in its size. Oh, by the way, one of the few games I haven't got a chance to finish. I'm right at the end. I still haven't got a chance to finish. It's so long, and there's so many different ways in which you can do stuff. I ended up resaving, reloading something just to play as the good guy through an entire section. And there was a completely different way in which to handle multiple parts. There is a lot to be offered. And I don't think after multiple playthroughs, most people are going to see even 3/4 of what this game offers. And speaking of offers, I offer you reviews that aren't 2 minutes long or filled with sponsored bullcrap. Check me out on Twitter. Follow me there. I rarely actually really push Twitter. I need to start doing that. But you know, the best place is Patreon. I buy a copy of every single game, even if the dev gives me a code, so my cash is on the line like yours. If you leave a comment, I give the game away to somebody in the comment section at the end of our week, every time on Friday on the Twitch podcast, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's it for me. I hope your 2020 gets better. There are some cool games coming out, not just Cyberpunk. Keep your eyes open for more reviews, more previews, more impressions, more podcasts from me. I hope you have an amazing week. Peace out and enjoy the rest of it. They go for, oh, Jesus. They're dead.